free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call-in numbers. We're joined this evening, March 2nd, 2009, by Dave Barman of eCoupled, a company that is helping launch a world without power wires. eCoupled technology by Fulton Innovation, LLC, entails an inductively coupled power circuit that dynamically seeks resonance with the device being charged. Their technology enables one device to cover the range of power needs from milliwatts to kilowatts simultaneously. Picture placing both a laptop and an MP3 player over a power module, and it is able to tell the difference between the two and only deliver as much power as each needs at the same time. Having ties with Motorola, Energizer, Texas Instruments, the company expects to see many wireless electrical products arrive this year. David Barman is the Director of Advanced Technologies at Fulton Innovation and the lead inventor of eCouple Technology, Intelligent Wireless Power. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, tell us, you know, I saw some YouTube videos about your presentations at CES, I believe you call it, down in Vegas, the electronic show, showing various products being wired or wirelessly powered. Tell us about your technology.
Sure. The whole concept is about really getting rid of the whole aspect of having to have all these different adapters that we deal with in our lives, and all the different cords and different connectors that plug into these adapters that allow us to, you know, go from one adapter for this particular device and another adapter for that device and really get to what we consider universal power, meaning that you don't have to have a specific connector and you don't have to have a specific power supply, but you allow one wireless power supply to deliver power to a myriad of different electronic devices.
Now, how does the power device tell the difference between a laptop, for example, and the MP3 player that we used as an example in the introduction?
Yeah, terrific question. So what takes place is, if you could imagine, if you have a laptop power supply somewhere in your house, you have somewhere between a 60 and 120 watt power supply. That power supply is capable of delivering actually many different voltages. But it's at about 19 volts typically for a laptop. But it's capable of, technically, because it's a power supply, it's capable of delivering anything under that wattage. So if you could imagine, it could power your cell phone. It could power probably multiple cell phones. It could power different devices in your home. And it's probably one of the most efficient power supplies you have. So what we've done is we've taken that type of approach, and we've said any power supply that you have, we can very easily make it wireless, okay, meaning that taking the next generation of power supply, if you will, we can make it wireless. And by allowing the device to communicate to that power supply in a very simplistic way, in other words, the laptop says, I'm a laptop, I require 19 volts, I want 3.5 amps of power. And our power supply receives that information, and if it's capable, it'll start to power it at the rate that the laptop asked. When you transfer and you put a cell phone on there, the cell phone might say, I'm a cell phone, I need 850 milliamps and 4.6 volts. And the power supply, the wireless power supply, then adjusts to that need and gives that device exactly what it needs in the charge profile that it requires as well. So if it's constant current, constant voltage for a lithium-ion battery, it gives it exactly what it requires.
I know lithium-ion batteries can be really finicky. If you overcharge them, they have a circuit in them that actually it goes off, and you can have a circuit breaker that goes off, and that's quite costly to have to go in and undo that. So your device is able to give it what it needs and no more. And it can do these simultaneously, so you can have a small power need and a large power need being charged at the same time on the same device, meaning the same charge unit.
Yeah, and there's this real beauty to this whole thing we call charge snacking. So if you can imagine, 80% of us will run out of power in our cell phone sometime this week. And we don't do that because we're reluctant. We do that because you come home from work, you're busy, whatever, you set your phone down, and you forget to plug it into the charger. And it's usually the morning you have a conference call or something like that. You'd like to make a call when you're driving into work or, something happens, et cetera. And that's typically when you won't have your device charged. But if you can walk in and you set this down in a nice tray, or you set it on your countertop, or you set it on a shelf, et cetera, and you don't have to haul out a cord, you don't have to look for that cord to plug in, and you can just set it down and it's charging, that's so convenient, frankly, that it allows you to keep your phone up to top charge. Now, combine that with the capability of now I'm driving to the convenience store, and, I've got my phone sitting there, and I always set it next to me in the car anyhow. But if I could just set it there and it would be charging, we call that charge snacking as well. And in a lot of little trips like that where you're going to a convenience store or whatever, you normally think, well, I should probably plug my phone in because it'd be nice to top it off, but I'm just taking a short trip and that's probably not worth it. Where in reality, if you could snack, if you could get a charge each time that you're setting your device down, whether it's your laptop or your phone, it really changes the whole profile and user habit of how that device is used.
I know on my cell phone, the user manual actually recommends for the longest duration of the battery that you let it go down as far as you can before you charge it again. So the snacking, as you're calling it, would not be a good idea if you want the battery to last a long time. You can keep charging every time you come near a charger, plug it in, but that's going to affect the longevity of the battery, of how many charge cycles you're going to get out of it.
So it can affect the life of your battery if the charge algorithms that are charging your battery actually take that into consideration. Don't take that into consideration. But if it is taking it into consideration and you're allowing the battery to top off, the way that a battery life is typically measured is when you look at a charge cycle, that charge cycle is how many full cycles that your battery has. Now, we've all read the articles that talk about, we're trying to, in the battery industry, they're trying to increase the amount of cycles that you actually have in these batteries. And there's different ways to do that. Part of the way is if you treat the battery appropriate through its life and you don't allow it to have those deep cycles, if you will, it doesn't go through a full cycle, and that allows you to potentially prolong the life. There's also attributes that you want to have it go through that full cycle because you want to restore the chemistry that enables it to produce electricity in the appropriate way. There's a balance there. And that balance becomes quite intelligent in that it can be addressed to help maximize that battery life. And that's typically what the device manufacturers are looking to do, is help you to extend that life. But they're also taking the best appropriate condition to cover all the different user habits within the typical consumer use constraints.
I know, if I remember right, in one of the videos, you gave the example also this evening about having actually one of these modules, these power modules, on board your car. So not only would you have one on your countertop, for example, at home, where you place your devices to get them charged or to power them as you're using them right there on the power source, you actually have one of these things inside your car. So you would actually place your a wireless device on top of the power module, and it would be charging it inside your car.
Is that correct? Yeah. So we have where you would set it on your console in a little cubby. We've done different configurations for different automotive companies where you store your devices in different areas. But if you can imagine now having Bluetooth in an MP3 device or Bluetooth in your phone, and you actually set your phone down to charge and it has Bluetooth in it, technically you don't even need to touch your phone while it's in your car. You can answer your phone calls. You can speak through the car's audio system and Bluetooth system, and your phone can be charging while all this is taking place, and you don't even have to even pick up or touch your phone at all during that process.
Mm-hmm.
That's true wireless. Now, if you can imagine, we actually have a scenario where we do that with your cell phone, but we also do it with your MP3 player. So you could listen to that in the stereo. You can change songs, adjust volume, fast forward, whatever, select your songs. And you never even have to touch your MP3 player either, and both of those will work simultaneously with some of the new Bluetooth protocols that are being implemented in the MAT format. So completely wireless audio, phone, and charging.
Now, one thing we didn't mention is this is not just a futuristic thing, that, you know, something that's going to be showing up later this year. You already had a product available for several years that's using this technology. Maybe you can talk about that for a second, then we're going to be going to break.
Okay, sure. We've got a water treatment system, and it uses 38 watts of UV light to give us 6-log reduction of bacteria and viruses. And it's completely watertight, but we power that completely wirelessly. It's in 36 countries. It's Consumer's Digest Best Buy, and it's a great water treatment system. And the technology has been proven out in that system at 38 watts, and like I said, is in 36 different countries. We've sold millions of them over the past 7 years.
I'm not quite understanding why that would need to be wireless.
So basically what we're doing is we have carbon, but we also have UV, and the UV deactivates bacteria and viruses with that wireless power. And maybe after break I can tell you why we chose to use wireless power in that particular mode.
Yeah, and also when we come back from break, I want to get into a little bit the details of how this technology works, how that energy is transferred from one place to the other without wires.
Terrific.
I plugged the scan gauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The scan gauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The scan gauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at scangauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Don't miss Imus in the Morning, Arizona's news talk leader. Imus in the Morning. Only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. The I-Man is back.
This is Glenn Frey. The Eagles have been on tour all over the world, and it's always good to come back home. You should know that the rules for crossing the border are changing. And we want all of you who cross the border for business or for fun to be sure to have everything you need to get home efficiently. You can learn about your document options under the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative by visiting www.getyouhome.gov. Travel safe, have fun, and take it easy.
Increase your credit scores now. Take high-interest credit cards and transfer your balances to 0% business credit cards. Business credit cards are easy to get. Most don't verify income, and you don't even need to be a registered company. Did you know that most business credit cards don't report to your personal report? Stop paying interest and boost your credit score by visiting GoRealTalkCreditCards.com. Again, that's GoRealTalkCreditCards.com to apply.
Chatterbox Video Game Radio is the only completely live and public forum available to discuss current events in the video game industry, and we want you to join in the discussion.
Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Every Tuesday evening at 9 p.m. only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Free energy, now!
Sterling Allen coming back at you from Eagle Mountain, Utah. I'm talking to Dave Barman. He's up in Michigan where it's 5 degrees below. I understand down in Phoenix you guys were 85 degrees today. What's up with that? I guess maybe you can export some of your global warming over to Michigan.
Yeah, we'd appreciate that.
We're talking to Dave Barman. He's with eCoupled, is a technology being developed by Fulton Innovation. They've had a project online, you say, in 36 countries for several years, water treatment system. We're going to go a little more into why you need wireless electricity for a water treatment system.
Right. So, if you can imagine, if you can think about the different problems you've ever had with cords, from tripping over them to plugging a connector in backwards or upside down and potentially destroying an electronic device because of that cord or cable. This was a problem that we had with our product that we had manufactured previously before we used the wireless power approach. So what we had is you had to literally plug this lamp in and insert it into the product. And what would happen is the consumer would pull for a little additional cord. They'd plug it in backwards and break off pins. They had to think about how it would connect in and how it would insert in. And we said, you know what, we're going to make this really easy. We're going to make it so the lamp drops in, so that there's no cords or cables, so that no electronics, the consumer's not exposed to any of that. And when we did that, we really simplified the product. They literally dropped the lamp inside of the pressure vessel that the water flows through. And when they seal it up, there's no connection through that pressure vessel. But yet, using inductive power, we can turn on that UV light. And what the UV light does is it kills the bacteria and viruses internally. And there's no cords or cables coming through that pressure vessel. Well, obviously, if you put holes through a pressure vessel, it's an opportunity to leak. And so we also got rid of those problems at the same time, where you wouldn't create any stress cracks or any opportunities for the device to leak either. So we solved the consumer problem. We solved corrosion and water contact. I mean, electricity and safety in the kitchen where the consumer is going to be touching this device. The connector issues with plugging them in backwards. The ease of installation, all with this wireless power.
Okay, that makes sense. And so you've had this thing in production and been selling it $423 million in sales as of December of 2007, a couple of years ago, so doing quite well with that product. I understand that this year you're going to be rolling out several other products, Energizer and whatnot. Can you talk about any of those?
Sure. We showed at the CES show some really neat products that are coming out. Bosch is coming out with a toolbox, and if you've ever used a combo pack of tools where you have maybe a drill, a saw, a flashlight, and some other tools, what this particular solution does is, you can imagine just putting that in the back of your pickup or putting it on your workshop. All three power tools charge at the same time, and they charge inside of your case. So you just set it down on your workshop, and they charge up. Energizer is doing a really neat flashlight. It's a ruggedized flashlight that you just you set it down, and it charges. You don't have to open it up. You don't have to plug anything in. You just set it down. So, you know, we've all had that frustration where you pick up your flashlight and, you know, you want to go find a new battery for it. But you, when you pick up that flashlight, it's usually because, you know, you heard a sound or you're trying to fix something and you really want that, that flashlight to turn on immediately. So that's the solution that, Energizer's, coming out with. And then we're also working with Leggett and Platt. They're a company that does a lot of the work trucks that you'll see. So if you see someone parked at the street corner and they're working up in the cable box or installing, equipment in someone's homes, they do those types of trucks. So there's a work computer that goes in there, there's cell phones, there's, the flashlights, the toolkits, things like that, that are all going to be powered wirelessly in that truck so that those guys don't have to worry about plugging in cords and cables inside of those trucks. They can just grab their equipment, go on to the job site. Between job sites, everything's getting charged up appropriately. They don't have to remember that they've got to plug everything in or put the battery packs in the charger. It just happens all naturally and helps them to become more productive.
Okay. Now, you're the developer of this technology. I'm curious what kind of tools you had to work with because, you know, a lot of this wireless stuff has been fairly recent. What kind of literature and precedent was there for you to work with when you started developing this for the water purifier application?
Sure. So the precedence was really Tesla. You know, he really had the dream initially for wireless power. And if he would have had the capabilities of using microprocessors and some of the tools that we have today, I'm sure his vision would have been completely different because he, you know, he really dreamed of resonant power and doing some of these things. What we've done is we've kind of taken it and we've made it dynamic. So because of the advent of the microprocessor, we can do this real time. And we can do it in a sequence that allows all these things that are dynamic in our lives and that change with all these different devices. We can actually allow the system to change with all of that. And that's really where we started out. Initially, we didn't have very many tools to help us develop this technology. It was quite difficult because, you know, literally your circuit was your fuse initially. So there were a lot of smoky offices initially when we were trying to figure this technology out. And then, over the time where we started figuring out the technology and how to make it robust and just as much so as your present power supplies, once we started to get to that point, we had developed the tools and the equipment and the algorithms, frankly, that allow this to power these systems in a very robust way.
So in terms of transferring the resonant power that you talk about, are we talking about circular coils that are setting up a resonance that is then picked up with another antenna type of coil on the receiving end? How does that work?
Right. So they can be circular, but they can be many different shapes as well. But what you have is you have a generator that generates a electric power, and that can have virtually any shape coil. But we do quite a few different geometries and different configurations for many different applications. And then you have, to your point, a secondary coil, and it too can take many different shapes. It can be a star, a square, a oval, a circle, you know, many different shapes. But for this interoperability piece we're talking about, we're working with a wireless power consortium, and what we're trying to do is get to a wireless power standard. So what we've done is we've selected low, medium, and high power coils that will allow us to have some standards for these types of devices. So there'll be an interoperable format of coil sets that will be used together, and then there's also a proprietary set of coils that can be used together. So if you have an electric vehicle or if you have a, you know, electric scooter, it might use one format, but specifically where you park your scooter, that's a proprietary application. But if you want to use that scooter multiple places and there's charging stations around town, you might have multiple, that might be an interoperable solution, for example.
When you talk about wireless power standards, are you guys actually setting the standards for the industry, or is this being done by another entity such as the NIST in Boulder?
Yeah, so what we're doing is we're working with Philips, Olympus, Sanyo. There's a pretty good group. If you check out the www.wirelesspowerconsortium.com, we've got a group of industry leaders that have gotten together and said, you know, we really want a solution where we can adapt wireless power, but we don't have to worry about this whole thing of having multiple companies going in different directions. We really want a solution that meets our needs. And that's where we're going with the Wireless Power Consortium. In fact, we're meeting on another one of our meetings in ADA tomorrow.
Okay. And you basically are agreeing that these standards are, this is how we'll do it, and here's why, and come up with the best thinking rather than just one person being a bull in a china shop?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and getting everyone's concerns, you know, taken care of versus just, you know, here's a technology, this is a standard. No one really wants that.
All right. Well, let's pick up more of this when we come back.
Live streaming audio on demand, 24 hours a day. Log on now at 1100KFNX.com. KFNX.com.
CNN Radio, I'm Greg Black. Have you checked your 401k balance tonight? Well, this man has.
It's horrible. I worked for my company 30 years, the last 20 for nothing. They say it's going to come back. I'll be 140 when it does, and I can't wait.
And he's not the only one. The market had another horrible day with both the Dow and the S&P 500 tumbling to their lowest level since 1997. Another $62 billion in losses for the AIG insurance conglomerate. But it's the American taxpayer to the rescue. Uncle Sam ponies up another $30 billion to keep that company afloat. Well, good luck if you're hoping to fly in the next couple of days. A late winter snowstorm. Storm has forced hundreds of flight cancellations in the Northeast, and of course that is affecting air traffic all across much of the nation. It is not looking good for those football players missing after a Gulf of Mexico fishing trip. One of them has been found clinging to an overturned boat. However, there is no sign yet of the other three. This is CNN Radio.
It was a hot one this afternoon. This should be our top out for a while, as we're going to gradually cool things off here the next several days. Mid to upper 80s tomorrow through midweek, then low 80s Thursday and Friday. And there's a cold front going through over the weekend. Some clouds, maybe rain up north. Highs here in the low 70s. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 76 degrees.
If credit card debt is making your life miserable and you're tired of living from paycheck to paycheck, then get ready for a toll-free number that will end your credit nightmare and preserve your self-respect. Trinity Debt Management will save you thousands by cutting your interest as much as 60% and increasing your credit score up to 200 points. If you're ready for one low monthly payment that pays off your debt, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360. Trinity's certified counselors will explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. If your debt has you down, we should talk.
Trinity.
Call for free information now at 1-800-758-5360. 1-800-758-5360. 1-800-758-5360. Not available in all states.
The following is a public service message about the state of our national parks.
Our national parks are as beautiful as they were 100 years ago. The mountains, reeds, rivers, and streams all look good as a big picture.
You may not have noticed, but several letters were missing from that message. Just like you may not have noticed that our national parks are missing the grandeur they once had because of a shortfall in federal funding. In fact, in national parks across the country, historic sites are crumbling. Commercial development threatens parkland. Even the monuments at the National Mall in Washington, D.C. are suffering without enough funds for maintenance and upkeep.
Our parks are suffering from an shortfall.
The 100th anniversary of our national parks is just around the corner. Let's restore them to their full splendor with nothing missing. go to npca.org/radio or call 1-800-NAT-PARK. Help protect America's national park heritage for our children and grandchildren.
A message from the nonprofit National Parks Conservation Association.
Free energy now.
We really want to change the world today.
Eagle Mountain, Utah.
We'll always take donations there for sure. Or some hard work volunteering. Give a little and you'll get back more. You know the future's looking brighter. We just want to help the world today.
Free energy now.
That's our toll-free number. If you're listening live, 866-536-1100. We are broadcasting out of KFNX 1100 in Phoenix, Arizona, also being broadcast via the net, and then archived at Free Energy News or FreeEnergyNow.net. FreeEnergyNews.com is our daily news service. We are talking this evening with Dave Barlin. He has been developing the e-couple technology for Fulton International. They are tied to or a subsidiary of Amway. I learned over the break that they have been in business for 50 years and are still experiencing a 15% growth rate last year, doing $8.3 billion annually, a very substantial company. And one of the products that they have is water purifier technology, which is the first implementation of this wireless e-couple technology. And maybe you want to comment a little bit along those lines, Dave?
Sure. You know, one of the things that we that was a mandate when I came in that was very refreshing to the organization was, you know, design the best products in the world. And that's really what set us down this path of creating a wireless powered product. I mean, no one had done it before, but we really wanted to solve the problems of any other, you know, that any other technology would have regarding this particular solution. So 50 years is a long time. 15% growth in an economy that we're talking about is a beautiful thing. And, you know, this whole aspect of wireless power and what it can bring to many different companies as far as a differentiated and very interesting technology that solves the same types of problems that we're talking about, cords and cables, really provides a very interesting avenue for the companies that we're working with. For example, if you talk about a laptop, I've got one sitting on my coffee table, and if I get up and I trip over that power cord and I pull that connector sideways just the right amount, I can destroy my laptop by a 30-cent connector. And these types of things, these warranty and reliability issues, along with this differentiation of having a very exciting technology that's convenient for the consumer, is a very nice thing to talk about in this economy.
When you have a laptop battery, for example, is this going to be a special battery that's designed specifically for your power station?
Well, that's a good question. So you can imagine you can implement this technology in many different ways in any device. So whether it's a laptop or a cell phone or an MP3 player, the technology can be embedded as a battery, and that battery might have a special circuit in it. It can be embedded as an adapter that can snap onto the product, not the preferred embodiment, but it can be done that way. And then it can also be integrated into that product, and that's usually the preferred way from the customer. But it's not in any case for a special battery. It's a battery lithium ion or whatever the device comes with, it's a derivative of that technology.
Okay. Before the break, we were talking about different companies that are pursuing wireless power solutions and that they're working in this wireless power consortium to come up with some standards for the industry. And I'm curious how that works where you are nominally competitors, also cooperating in establishing standards. And how does, a couple of questions arise from that, how does your technology compare to some of the other wireless technologies that are being developed? And how do those differences work out when you're sitting down at a conference table to come up with some standardization between the different approaches?
Sure. You know, that's always a very contentious point, right? Because you're sitting in a room with, you know, state-of-the-art companies that have great solutions, and what you're doing is you're trying to raise valid points about your technology. What really differentiates that relationship within those, within a consortium-type environment, is it's not about your technology. It's about the solutions that the consumer desires, and it's about the problems that the OEMs that are also sitting around the table, it's about their problems and how you're going to solve their problems, how you're going to have a commercially viable product, how you're going to, you know, not just provide a technology, but how you're going to provide a real solution. So that's how you get measured. That's how you get weighed. And if you don't provide a real solution, you know, it's the company that provides that solution that wins out in a consortium environment. That doesn't mean we have competitors in our consortium as well. There's ways to find attributes or avenues that allow each technology to contribute. And so if the best of both worlds is when you have a consortium where you've got multiple competitors, but they're all adding to a more positive solution for the consumer. And we've been lucky enough to have that work that way for our consortium. Now, there are other competitors. There's a contact technology. They call it wireless, but it's still ball bearings and a and contacts on a circuit board-like configuration. Where you can't use skins, and it looks like it's wireless, but it really isn't wireless. And then the dramatic difference is there's a technology out there called Y-tricity, that broadcasts energy through the air. And frankly, we don't, when we talk about either one of those technologies, two points come to mind. The contact technology, you know, eventually corrosion, oils from your hand, dust, et cetera, are going to get to it. And you can clean that, and you can, you know, you can prevent that from happening, but it's about being able to set your device down. It's about being able to have your Wii controllers in a skin or your iPod in a case or whatever and still be able to charge it, with that convenience. So we see that having its limitations. The broadcast power issues associated with that are going to be efficiency and generally related to, you know, you as a consumer, how do you feel about broadcasting power through your home? You know, that raises certain concerns from what we've seen in consumer research. We can do that as well. But, you know, between the efficiency issues and the consumer acceptance, we really saw that as maybe a long-term solution where consumers might become accepting of that configuration, but we didn't think that they would be in near term.
There's a lot of concerns about cell phones and brain cancer and things like that, where you've got these electronic devices in vicinity of biological tissue, and how are they interacting? And if you're now broadcasting electricity through the air, making that, you know, amplifying that concern, so to speak, I can see why you would be hesitant to go down that path.
Yeah, so you talked about, you know, our technologies have to be in, you know, wireless power has to be in fairly close proximity. We did that specifically for that reason. In other words, by putting your device in close proximity with the coil, We can make it literally less expensive. We can expose the consumer to literally no field, and that's what we wanted to do because the device actually shields it, shields you from that. And in that, we don't have to broadcast power. We can actually be very efficient in the transfer of that energy all at the same time, so really replacing the cord, but making it more convenient and more reliable.
We've not mentioned your level of efficiency. If I understand, you're about 90-95% efficient in converting the power source to the application.
And so in that particular application, that's when we're using some of our appliances. But, you know, when we get into low voltage electronics, it's more around the 80% range because we typically run comparable to your existing power supplies and wall adapters. And there's certain losses that take place just in your charger, just in your power supply.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's pick up more on this after break. I'd like to talk a little bit more about some of the competing technologies out there and how yours compares to those. And also, I'm curious, when you're sitting around that cooperation table, how you talk about technologies that may still yet be confidential, and how do you say things that need to be said without saying them?
Terrific.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Listen to what clients are saying about Carol Blonder of Networking Arizona.
She's a marketing guru that wants to help you become the best that you can be.
A very effective, down-to-earth way of connecting with other business professionals.
Since working with Carol, my cold calling closing ratios are going up, up, up.
She is the queen of networking.
If you want to get plugged in everywhere, get to know Carol Blonder.
Energize your business today. Call 602-228-4629. That's 602-228-4629.
Healing is a four-body process, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. If you've never had a personal hands-on healing experience, consider the Lemurian Healing Center for an alternative approach to persistent depression, daily anxiety, unresolved trauma, or an overall boost for your immune system. Come experience the benefits of personal hands-on healing at the Lemurian Healing Center. Call 480-396-4018. That's 480-396-4018.
Flu season is here. Don't let influenza knock you out. Act fast. Fight back.
I'm Dr. Susan Rehm with the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases. Vaccination remains the best way to fight influenza. But if you think you have the flu, see your doctor right away. Prescription antiviral medications can help you get better faster. And always remember to practice good hygiene.
Fight back against the flu. Learn more at nfid.org.
Free energy, now!
Sterling Allen coming back at you. I'm talking to Dave Barman. He is with E-Couple Technologies by Fulton Innovation. They are doing inductively coupled power circuitry that dynamically seeks resonance with the device being charged. And we're talking about pretty much how this stuff works. But now, in this last segment, let's talk about where is this technology going to take us? Why is this technology going to help us in the future, especially in this economy where things seem to be kind of in a meltdown mode? How is your company doing in while the rest of the country is kind of going downhill? How is your company doing, and how is this going to affect the future of the country and the world?
Yeah, I like that. So when we talk about some of these companies and where they're going, what's happening with our company is, we're being engaged by many large corporations that are looking for innovation that is going to set them apart in the marketplace. Now's the time when market shares are available, where companies are seeking to expand their share, take advantage of their unfortunately take advantage of their competition's issues, whether they be financial or customer base or whatever. But in these times, that's usually where market share is gained and lost. So companies are looking for innovative approaches. They're looking for things that the consumer will want because they have to make it more attractive to the consumer in order to draw the consumer to purchase new and interesting products. And that just has been really a great thing for the e-coupled technology. And because it does offer a very interesting approach to some of these solutions, some of these problems that are out there, and allows quite a few really interesting applications of this technology that really get the consumer thinking about very neat ways that this technology can be adapted.
Yeah, we've talked about some of the smaller applications. What's on the upper end in terms of, you talked about kilowatts, what would be a wireless kilowatt application?
So you can imagine in the high end of that, a 6-kilowatt application, you can imagine driving your electric vehicle into your garage and literally not have to pull out a cord or anything. It could charge just by pulling into your garage. A 2-kilowatt application that we showed at CES is imagine a granite surface or your existing countertop where you could go from a no-outlet counter. You can put a chafing dish there, an electric frying pan, you can put a blender, and then when you're done using those appliances, you can just move them aside, slide into place a trivet, and it's just if you could imagine just a ceramic trivet, and we showed this at the CES show. You put this trivet in place, and you can set one of our frying pans in there, intelligent frying pan, and you can dial in from the handle of the frying pan what temperature you want that frying pan to cook at. Now, this gets a little wild. We can actually go from that to hauling out your iPhone and actually dialing in what recipe you want. The frying pan will then go through a complete boil and simmer profile, and then paid you when it's time to add the noodles or add the next ingredient. And all this because of the intelligence aspect of adding some very neat features to these types of appliances.
And those devices are both communicating with the power, being powered by the same power source, even though one is taking a lot of wattage and one is taking very little.
That's correct.
And then because they communicate with each other through the regular wireless communication, this is different from the power, they're able to send a message saying, okay, rather than having to, I know when we set the timer on our clock, on our stove, and we go into another room, oftentimes we won't hear the clock ding because we're too far away, whereas if we've got our cell phone on us, our cell phone just beep, and we go back in, and it's time to turn over our pancake or whatever it is.
Yeah, and if you take a look at where some of the things are going with Microsoft Connected Home and where the house of the future really brings us in the way that our lives can be simplified by some of these creature comforts, you can see that it really starts to enable a lot of things that we've been talking about for a long time, but really starts to enable the capabilities to add the value associated that the consumer is really looking for. In other words, so what if you have the internet? You want to be able to do certain things with that internet. You want to be able to find things. You want to have value brought to you as a consumer that can be applied to your life, right?
I noticed there are a couple of website addresses. There's ecouple.com, ecouple.ed. ecoupled.com, and then FultonInnovation.com.
That's correct.
What's the difference between those two when it comes to this particular technology?
So you can imagine ecoupled is a brand, if you will, of Fulton Innovation. Fulton Innovation is a licensing organization of Amway, and we've got a couple of technologies that we're that we've developed. Another technology that Fulton possesses would be, for example, we've got a hydro turbine, a micro hydro turbine that could fit at the end of your faucet in your kitchen and produce 16 watts of power from the flow of your water in your kitchen sink. That's just another technology that we have that we're licensing.
Huh. It wouldn't be a lot of electricity. What would be the applications there?
Oh, so you could do, in that particular case, what we did is we actually had a complete UV water treatment system that could fit at the end of your faucet, and all the power was actually for the microprocessor that monitored your filter and your lamp and gallon flows, all that. All of that would be powered. The UV lamp and the microprocessor would all be powered by the hydro turbine, so you didn't have to plug this device in at all.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the future, when we get away from our fear of the transmission of electricity through the air, where we can do it where it's not going to be damaging human and other biological tissue, do you see yourself developing, being on the leading edge, for example, in developing wireless power that wouldn't be so location confined, so I could be 10 feet away and be powering my device rather than having to have it within a few inches?
Yes, you know, we have solutions that can do that, but the problem becomes when you take, you know, just North American production, not even global production, and you start to look at taking 50% of the grid and needing 50%, you know, and really giving 50% efficiency, that becomes a pretty big issue. So yeah, it's not just about the human exposure in that particular case. When you broadcast energy, and we're not saying that we're done with this, but right now broadcasting energy is less efficient. We can transfer in energy inductively and have it be comparable to your existing power supplies. In some cases, we can actually turn off and go to a zero weight state for standby power, so you're not burning all that power in these cords that are plugged in around your house. But when you're talking about broadcasting power, you're really talking about fairly poor efficiencies. Very convenient for the consumer, but very poor efficiency. So I think it's going to have very particular usage constraints of how you would use the broadcast power mode. And we're researching that. We see some good applications for that, and we're working on those.
Well, as we develop some of these new energy technologies, you know, we don't have anything that I know of available in the marketplace now, but when we start having zero-point energy modules that can sit in the back of your car and power your car continuously without ever having to stop, and each appliance has its own built-in power source, of course, we won't have to worry about wireless transmission. But in that scenario, now the grid becomes irrelevant. We were in a different paradigm. But let's talk for a second. Really, you piqued my interest on this zero weight thing, where right now I have all these transformers plugged into a power strip, one for my cordless phone, one for my cell phone, one for a regular landline phone. And, you know, each one of these continues to pull power even though I'm not using them. Are you saying that you've got a technology, a zero weight? You're saying that only pulls power when it's needed and not otherwise?
That's correct. So if you could imagine, having all of those devices being charged from one source, meaning we did a desk at CES that would allow you to charge, you know, 3 to 4 items at a time, but it had one power cord coming off this desk, and you could just set these devices on your desk. And in that mode, what was really neat is you could very quickly, when you pulled the devices off, the unit would recognize that there's no devices there, literally shut off. But when you placed the device there, it would recognize that there was a device there, and it would turn on again. So in the off state, that would be 4 power supplies that would draw about a half amp a half watt apiece, and that starts to become real power. 1% of North American production is 50 megawatts. So that's a whole power plant just in 1% of cell phone production, for example. So it's real power. Maybe not to you as a consumer, you know, as far as cost, but, you know, the green movement and where what that means as far as carbon, it's significant.
Well, any final words before we close up the session? We've got about a minute left.
Check out www.ecouple.com. I think the future vision of wireless power is extremely exciting, and where that takes us, the vision that we have and some of the things that are going on in the industry, I think you're going to be excited about what we're coming out with this year.
Well, thanks, Dave. We appreciate you coming on our show. It's been nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. Thank you.
You've been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.
Hey everybody, this is Mike Lunibus. You better stick around because this is the best place to be for great country music.